Amen. Please take your Bibles and turn back to Nahum chapter 1. Nahum chapter 1. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to share a couple of neat Christian sayings with you before we get into our message today. Before we do all that, let's ask God's help and direction. Father, thank you for your blessing, orchestration, power, and might. Thank you, Lord, for how you want to direct the very moments and affairs of our lives in a plan that you have for us. Help us to be on board with the will and plan that you have for our lives. Lord, help us to get off of our own plan and be on the will and the direction that you want us to go in. Lord, unshackle us from our sins, and may they be gone, dealt with, confessed, put away. We ask you might bless abundantly as we seek your face this morning. I ask you to fill me, Holy Spirit, right now for this message. I trust and depend in you to bring it, not in myself. We pray that in all things that Christ is going to be honored here, that he's going to be listened to, that he's going to be obeyed, that your word will have real meaning in our lives today, and that we'll lay aside all of our thoughts and cares and problems of this world and focus in right now on what you have for us this morning during this time. As we've looked at and sung about this morning, we need to be revived. Lord, do it today. We need to be revived. Would you please do that in all of our hearts and lives this day? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some good things about Facebook, and that is you can go on there, and if you have a lot of good Christian friends, they're going to share some really neat Christian sayings and posts, and a number of you are well aware that I do that because you're my friend there, and you acknowledge if you like the same thing I liked. There's a guy on there named Harold Vaughn. He's an old-time evangelist. If you go onto his site and like something there, maybe you'll get it straight to you before it comes to me. So that's just a bonus this morning. But here's some of the neat things that I saw there. I believe these are helpful for us as believers. Great sayings. If you don't allow prayer to drive out the sin from your life, sin will drive out the prayer from your life. That's true. Our sin will make us prayerless. Got to get rid of the sin. Never trust your tongue when your heart is bitter. I added to that. Never trust your tongue when your heart is bitter or when something is upsetting you. We can all say, yep, guilty as charged. Tell you what, it's best to just back off, be quiet, let it go, get with God, turn off the tongue. This one is from Corey Ten Boom. When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Love it. Love it. This last one is my own. Came to me this morning sitting in that back row. You know, I'm thinking about food a lot since I've cut a lot of food out of my life. So this one, I like this. Came to me this morning back there in the back row while Matt was teaching. There's one dessert we should eat every day. What is it? Humble pie. We need to eat that every day. Humble pie. And you don't have to eat the real sugary stuff and put on some more pounds. So trust those will be helpful to you today and in the future. Let's turn our attention now to Nahum chapter 1, the scripture we read already. This morning, verses 2 through 15, we're looking this morning at God reassures Judah. Man, don't you like to be reassured? You know, when Woody went home to be with the Lord, I knew right away what I'm going to preach on. You know, usually at a funeral, I will slam salvation because there's going to be a lot of lost people there. I make no bones about it. You can't miss those opportunities. But this time I'm not going to start with that. I'm going to start with the assurance of your salvation. And the reason I'm going to do that is because Woody battled with that in his life. I talked to him on many, many occasions. You know, it's really great when we're assured, when we are reassured of our salvation. I heard a one-liner one time, and I'll use it on Wednesday. Only saved people doubt their salvation. Unsaved people don't doubt their salvation. They don't have any. They know where they're going. Deep down in their little hearts, they know they're on their way to hell. They know it. The Holy Spirit's telling them that all the time. You say, you need Jesus. And what we have today in our text in Nahum chapter 1 is God is reassuring Judah. What's been happening? They're vassals to the Assyrians and others. They're paying tribute all the time. Yeah, they have a king, but he's a puppet to other nations. And God is reassuring them in the text today through the prophet Nahum, hey, I'm going to unshackle you, they're going to be gone, and I'm going to take care of it, and you will be free from these people forever. And that's what this portion of Scripture is all about. He's reassuring his children, Israel, Judah specifically. Why do they need reassurance? Well, they've been very bad, very idolatrous, very wicked. And when that happens, then God will send in some nation to oppress them. And the Assyrians were very wicked and cruel and just did horrible things to the people. And now God is saying, you know what? I'm going to rip the boot of Assyria off of your neck, and not just for a while, forever. They will never, ever be after you again. That's what we see here in this text. So first of all this morning, our first point, short first point, medium second, big third. How about that? Number one, Nahum's name. Nahum's name. The root meaning of his name is comfort. Isn't that interesting how his name is providential to what he's going to be saying? His name is comfort. He's going to comfort the people of Judah. Yes, God is going to fix this mess. Yes, God is going to take care of you. It is a message of comfort for Judah. But his message is anything but comfort for Assyria. Oh, the message for them is, you're gone. Gone forever. We know little else about Nahum, except that he was this great prophet during the reigns of Manasseh and Josiah. What an exciting time to live. The tail end of Manasseh and all of Josiah, that would have been good. That would have been a great, that's like being in America now. You know, it's good. We're blessed. And Nahum prophesies, we're going to get Assyria off of our back. They're going to be gone. And his message has relevance for us today, too, as we face our own realities in our own life. God is sovereign over the affairs of every nation and every person on planet Earth. He rules over politics, policies, and people. God is in control of all of these things. And he cares faithfully for everyone who puts their faith and trust in him. It's always been that way, and it always will. Point number two, Nahum's portrait of divine punishment. Nahum's portrait of divine punishment in verses 2-6. We see the power of God here. We see strong language. We devoted a whole sermon to verse number 2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. He reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger. Isn't that interesting? You have him coming down powerfully in verse 2, and then we're reminded of an attribute of God. He's slow to anger and great in power, and I like this part, and will not at all acquit the wicked. No, sir, they're not going to get away with it. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He just kicked a few clouds yesterday, boom, and get your rowboats. You know, man thinks he's so great, thinks he's so awesome, and God can just turn the faucet on and wash us away. Did it once. Said he won't do that one again. He rebuketh the sea, maketh it dry. He drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The three most productive, fruit-bearing, crop-bearing areas. God says, dry that up. I can just take that away from you overnight. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. That's a powerful God. We see the power, and we see the long-suffering, and we see the patience all in these few verses. We see total extremes of God. God says, you know what? I'll wait for you to get right with me. I'll wait for you to repent. I'll wait for you to get saved. But there's a day coming when my waiting is all done and the boom comes down. But he's long-suffering, and aren't you glad? I am so, so glad about that. So here's Nahum. He begins his oracle in a shocking way. God is jealous. God is not pleased. Don't you like to have a message start like that? Isn't that a great way to start the message out? Boom! We're not, a lot of preachers, their messages begin with a joke or some story or whatever. Not Nahum, not this time. This is all power, smashing beginning, huge. It makes Hannity's opening monologue seem like Sunday school picnic, right? Doesn't it? Nahum's message is targeting Nineveh. Why? It's the center of operations for the Assyrian Empire. It's the seat of power and glory. God says, I'm going to take care of that. And Nineveh deserves to be judged for its crimes against God's people. Horrible, wicked, cruel crimes. You know, we're so accustomed, we're so soft today in America. And even believers, all they want to talk about is God is love, God is patient, God is kind, God is loving, God is forgiving. Hey, you know what? When people today talk about God, they never talk about, you know what? Our God is a jealous God. That doesn't pop up. Don't talk about that one. That does not come up in conversation. God is not jealous of his people. He is jealous for his people. He wants them to come back to him. He wants them to get right with him. He wants them to put away their sins and their idolatry. God has, and I like this, he has a covenant loyalty. You know, as believers, we need to have a covenant loyalty to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we need to have a covenant loyalty to this body of believers, the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to have that covenant loyalty. That's how God operates. God will not tolerate disloyalty. God will not do it. And he cannot tolerate disloyalty. He alone is to be worshipped, and no one else. He is it. violating his covenant is a bad idea. And attacking his covenant people is also a really bad idea. And the Assyrians found this out. God will protect and God will defend his people. Now, in this case, we're talking about Israel, but God will defend and he will protect you and I too. He will protect us, he will defend us, and his vengeance is against his own people when they violate his covenant, and God's vengeance is against those who violate his covenant people. When his children Israel needed to be disciplined, he did that. And when he needed to rescue them, he did that. He is for his people. And God here is not pleased with what the Assyrians have done to Judah. Vengeance affirms that our God is a God of justice. Justice will come. You know, a lot of people cry about justice today. I'm not getting justice. I need, you know what? You're going to get justice. Just not the way you think. It's not going to go according to your plans and your wishes and your wants in this world. It's going to go the way God is holy and perfect, and justice, perfect justice, is going to come. God is patient with sinners, but he will not allow their wrongdoing to go unpunished. It says right here, God will not at all acquit the wicked. It's not happening. Their wrongdoing is going to be punished. Vengeance belongs to God, and he will take care of it. You know, I remember as a child, you know, there was a big thing, boy, if you did something to me, I'm gonna get revenge. I'm going to get revenge. And we'll do whatever we did. And but you know what? What a waste of our time. Because we're not in charge of that. God's in charge of that. God vindicates his own. You sit still, sit on the train, go through the tunnel, and just let God handle it. And he will. And God's patience was shown also in the ministry of Jonah before this time. And guess where we're going to go when we're done with Nahum today? We're going to go to Jonah next. I'm just really, really intrigued with this. So we're taking this out of order. Nahum is later, Jonah's before, but we're going to go back. Because what happened? What did Jonah do? He reluctantly, kicking and screaming, went and preached to Nineveh. And they repented, and now since that time, they have gone back from that repentance and back into their sin, and right here and now, God's going to wipe them out. But they had a day of repentance and a day of grace and a day of getting right with God and putting away their sin, and then time goes by, and here we are now, and they were afflicting Judah, and God says, you know what, we're done with this now. It's going to be all done. Judgment is certain for the wicked, and salvation is sure for those who believe. It looked like Assyria was an unstoppable force. But this is not going to be the first time that God took care of unstoppable forces. God is the only one who's going to stop them. And he did. Judah and no one else was going to stop them. Only God, and he took care of it. It doesn't matter how powerful a nation thinks it is, our God exercises ultimate sovereignty over every nation on this planet. We should not rest on our laurels in America because we've got wonderful military power and force. We should not depend on that. Always say to yourself, yeah, what happened to Assyria? They had all the military force, and God said, I'm going to smash you like an ant on the sidewalk, and he did. That could happen to us, too. it could happen. I mean, how many unborn children is God going to tolerate the murder of? You know, how long is this going to go on before God says, I'm done. I'm done with it. When nations displease God, his wrath will overthrow them suddenly and quickly. Keep your finger there in Nahum and go to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm 2. Psalm number 2, verses 10 through 12. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Trust in the Lord and no one else. Not power, might, money, whatever. Just do not trust any of that. Total trust in the Lord. Point number 3. Nahum's proclamation of divine peace. Nahum's proclamation of divine peace. Verses 7 through 15. Oh, just for fun, grab a hold of Nahum and start heading towards the New Testament. Zechariah, Malachi. It's not much there, is there? Not much left. We're almost in the New Testament. We're almost to a 400-year silence. And then the king comes. The promised king will come. That's neat. I like to do that once. Let's see. What space do we have here? Not much left. Verses 7 through 15, Nahum chapter 1. And again, we see the back and forth of awesomeness and power and blessing and punishment. It's all in here. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. You know what? This is life, okay? And you can all live this, and maybe you are living this. But you know, you come up against something during the week, something comes up, you weren't expecting this. Oh, this is a problem. And what should you do about that? You should bite your nails, worry, walk around the house and just kick the dog, get mad. No. You get right to prayer, and you get right to trusting in God about this. And when you do that, what happens? You win. And God fixes it. And God takes care of it. And you say, wow. And it's like, I should have known this. Right? That's how we got to do this. That's verse 7. The Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. But in verse 8, now, how's God going to handle it? But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. God is just going to run Assyria over. They're not going to know what hit them. They're going to be gone. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image, and the molten image I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. Time to celebrate. Time to rejoice, because our God's going to handle this thing. Going to take care of this. So we have the oracle of divine judgment on Assyria. This is bad news for them, but it was good news for Judah, because God says, I'm going to take care of them. They are no longer going to afflict you, never, ever again. You know, God is a stronghold in times of trouble. And the good news here that the Bible says through Nahum is that God's going to do this sooner, more sooner than later. It's coming. Coming. The complete destruction of Nineveh. They'll never oppress you again. The enemies of God's people are the enemies of God. We've got a lot of enemies of God in our nation's capital. We have enemies of God's people in our nation's capital. We have the enemies of God that have infiltrated our colleges, our universities, and our schools, and even our daycares, and all of this. Yeah. Hey, they are the enemies of God. They are our enemies. They are wanting to do things to get rid of Christ in this country. They are wanting to do that, trying to do that. God will make sure that they never come back again. He will pursue them into the darkness. This good news comes during the reigns, the latter part of Manasseh and into Josiah. And Nahum says Nineveh's doom, it's coming very soon. When people plot against the people of God, they're plotting against God himself. We need to remember that. The kings of the earth will never succeed against the Lord and his people. You know, as believers today, we have these same reassurances that God was giving to Judah. God will protect us too. God is faithful in every generation to protect his own. It wasn't just then in the books of the kings. Because of this, we should not fear man. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You trust in the Lord. God is with us. The enemies of God will not rise again. Well, we know from history the Assyrian empire crumbled in 612 B.C., never to rise again. They were gone, just like God said, gone. God's people were assured here that they have been punished for their transgressions. God did this many times. And the Assyrians now are never going to afflict them again. What better freedom is there than freedom from the shackles of the slavery and oppression? You know, this morning, as believers, we ought to think about the sins that we're shackled to. What are the sins in our hearts and lives that we're chained to it? What is it? What is that sin? We just can't seem to shake it. We are chained to it. We need to be released. We need to be released. In our spiritual world, freedom from slavery to sin and unrighteousness, that's what we need. We need to be free from that. not held in chains of bondage. Jailhouse of sin, whatever that sin happens to be. Jesus has redeemed us from the crushing burden of sin and its eternal consequences. Man, we've been set free for eternity. But in the here and now, in our flesh, we've got to get with God and say, man, this has got to get out of my life. I've got to cut this off, cut this off. It's just after me all the time. The Lord loves his people. He loves us enough to discipline us when we disobey his word. And he will choose the means of that discipline. We don't get to he chooses that. I know in my own life, and you should know in your own life, I mean, there are times when you've gone through whatever it was, and you know, beyond a shadow of doubt, you went there because God was spanking you. God was upset with that sin. And that's what it took to get our attention. We learn from Assyria that God punishes nations and leaders. He punished the king there, too, and all three of them, actually. They are all held accountable. Assyria is going to be gone, and then someone else is going to take their place. Remember these people? The Babylonians. They're coming next. The Babylonians are coming. They will begin their supremacy in the region. Then in verse number 15, we see that a herald, an announcer, arrives with good news. The herald comes with a message of peace. This is a peace from hostilities, and it is the peace of God and with God. We are going to have peace from our enemies, and we're at last going to have peace with our God. We're going to be unshackled, and Josiah is going to bring in the reform that Nahum is talking about here, and he's going to crush every idol in the whole land of Judah, every single one, in every shed, under every cover, on every hill. He will make sure it's all gone, and he will make the people do what they're supposed to do as long as he's alive. And the prophecy of Nahum comes to pass. Wow. And in verse number 15 here, when you get that kind of good news, it's time to rejoice. It's time to keep the feast that you're supposed to do. It's time to perform your vows. It's time to get back to what we were supposed to do in the beginning. Judah is to celebrate her festivals in honor of God and fulfill the vows that they have made. And all this is set in motion with King Josiah's reforms. The Assyrians are gone. Josiah obeys God. The word of God is read. He gets right. The people get right. And he restores the public celebration of the Passover festival. They get the books of the law out, and they read them, and this is what we're supposed to be doing. And Josiah says, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to do exactly what God wants us to do. What if good little King Josiah would not have listened to his advisors? What if he would have ignored the law that was brought back out? It was going to be bad news time. Because we had an obedient young king, they are going to have a good few decades in the land of Judah. You know what? Obeying God is always the best thing to do. Do it. All right. What's the connection for us? What's the connection here for us today? Well, Nahum's message of good news is freedom from Assyria. The Christian's good news is salvation from sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, they got freed from Syria, but we get to be free from our sin, and we get to go to heaven, and we get to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Both are based on the same premise. God saves sinners. He saved the sinners in Judah. He'll save every single soul who will confess Christ now as well. We have the occasion to rejoice in the good news that God saves sinners. We were talking about some question in Sunday school this morning about how you're at the house and someone comes to your door, but you don't want to answer the door, and so you just stay back in the house and be real quiet, you know. And have you ever done that? Well, I raised my hand. I said, well, you know what? This happens to us a lot when we go door knocking. We go up to the door and we knock on that door. We're going to talk to them about Jesus. We're going to talk to them about unshackling their sin, freeing them from sin, offering to them through Jesus Christ salvation. But they don't want to come to the door. Man, if I would have just went to the door, if I just would have talked to those people, I wouldn't be here. God saves sinners. He wants to save them. He's not willing that any should perish. There's good news for Judah. Assyria is going to be entirely wiped out. God is going to take care of the invincible force. There's good news for us as Christians. The oppressor called sin is going to be entirely wiped out. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to never sin again? I can't imagine how good that feels. I know how good it feels when I've gone through the day and I've served the Lord right and I did what He wanted me to do and hit the pillow at night. That's a really good feeling. But man, to know that I'm never going to have a terrible thought again. I'm never going to say something stupid again. I'm never going to I'm not going to fly off the handle ever again. Oh, glorious to be free from sin. In closing, turn to Romans 6. I'm going to end with a few verses from the book of Romans. Talking about what we just talked about, getting rid of this sin. And Romans chapter 6, 3 verses. Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Last verse, most famous verse to us of this chapter, verse 23. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Whoa! Talk about worlds apart words. Death. And eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. You know, we knock on doors and we tell people this verse, and we tell them that's why we die, because we're sinners. But the gift of God is eternal life. You can live forever and ever. Not today. So sad. So sad. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through only one person, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He has set us free with His own blood. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning. We give You praise, give You honor, we give You glory. Thank You, Lord, for these little prophets that are embedded in our Bibles, and the massive messages that they were given by You to give to Thy people. What a joy to look at the Scriptures here in Nahum today and to see how long suffering You are and how much You love people and want them to be saved, and You want to free them from their sin and unshackle them. Oh God, help us to walk in constant revival. being set free from these sins that so easily beset us. Let us walk in the freedom of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, lead us today. Lead us every day. Help us to follow close behind our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give us victory over sin. Give us power in this life. Give us victory over our downfalls and our weaknesses. And Lord, make us really, really strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.